working harder than Prime Shaq. It's the real
by
deal.
Far.
Big Dog, Ball Talk, Matt Eichler, George Spiegel. Back at you guys at another junction of the NBA season, right before the All-Star weekend. Hope everybody is being as optimistic as they possibly can, heading into such a highlight of our NBA schedule. Again, maybe the sarcasm isn't leaking through. For any of our loyal listeners out there, you know how we are feeling about it. We're going to talk a little bit about the All-Star game. Some changes going on in the rosters. Potentially, when you're listening to this, there may have even been more announced as we, we're going to lead the show off talking a little bit about Anthony Davis here, as well as the Portland Trailblazers and their kind of hot bit of streaking going on lately, as well as Big Dog of the Month January late edition, and of course, bringing back some NBA trivia. I will be quizzing Jordan this time around. We'll see how he fares. I think we've both done pretty well in the limited amount of trivia we've done so far this year. Let's kick it off, Jordan. We got to talk about it. The big game, the Super Bowl, the fucking Chiefs finally lost. Thank God. I couldn't have done it another year. If there was any team that was going to beat them, the Eagles would have been probably next to last. But I mean, whatever. It's the lesser of the two evils. I'll take the Eagles on this one. Sure. It was very, very therapeutic to watch the Chiefs just get shit pumped in that game. Whatever it was, 34-0.
Crazy.
And then they get a couple scores right late to make it look respectable, but it was a fucking ass whooping of grand proportions on the biggest stage. Really embarrassing. If this is really the Tom Brady effect on the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes just can't seem to beat him. So maybe we should get Tom Brady out there every single game, Fox prime time, every single Chiefs game next year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. What a crazy turn of events. I did not expect it to go this way. Again, I'm as casual as it gets when it comes to my football fandom, but I thought it would at least be close. How many picks did Mahomes throw? It was two, and then he got another takeaway or something. Like, I was just,
yeah, you ended up fumbling at the end of the game late.
Just crazy. I did not expect him to shit the bed to that extent. Mainly I was just mad that it wasn't a more exciting game. I mean, when the Super Bowl is a blowout, Jesus Christ, you get the chips, you have the guac, I've got my fucking chicken wings. Like, it is, it's so risky, get so invested in a game that, like any other game, can go sideways quickly, which that one did. Yeah. So that was too bad. What are your thoughts quickly, Matt, though, on Kendrick's halftime performance as well? Because I was talking about this with my girlfriend. Like, we watched it, somewhat entertaining, but I would have liked, I don't want to sound like the most cliche guy ever, like play the old stuff, but like, where was Good Kid, Mad City? Where was like some fun old kind of hype songs? I understand he wants to go with the new stuff and it was very, theatrical. Samuel L. Jackson loved that, loved the message and everything.
Cool.
I wanted a few more bangers thrown in there, like actual hype bangers. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
No, I'm on the same wavelength as you, and yeah, maybe this is just that we're aging ourselves very early on into our 20s here. But yeah, I thought he did fine, but like I'll say this for just on my own personal preference. Again, I've been listening to like Kendrick Lamar since like Section 80. Like there's so many fucking good songs on his resume of all the ones to like kind of pull out, like. I don't know. It was definitely a bit lackluster. I don't know why. Like, musicians are obsessed with that, right? Like, it's pretty much used as a marketing way. You know, go listen to my new album, go buy it. I guess stream it. Nobody buys albums anymore. It was just kind of to plug it. But like, if you're doing a show like the Super Bowl halftime show, I feel like you really should just be doing the bangers. Like, that's why I don't like. I think it should only be people who are like kind of like past their prime, like they're not like still making new music, because then they will just play the bangers. They'll play the hits. There's a lot of musicians they've had in the past where that's really all they do is play all the big ones that people know.
Because
there was a couple, honestly, like I've only listened to the latest album. I listened to it through once and there's a couple songs off it that I still listen to periodically here. But like there was a couple songs I don't even know what this is.
Same.
Like, I don't know this one.
Same.
That kind of took away from it.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I mean, I think every single year people say that the Super Bowl halftime show is the worst one ever. Like, almost every year that comes out like that. Like, I want to say, like, the Prince one was, like, one of the only ones I can think of that everyone was, like, universally, like, this was sick.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there were still people who hated on it back then. But, yeah, it's a... My biggest gripe with it all, really, and it's nothing to do with the actual halftime show itself, is the people who watch it and critique it. Because at the end of the day, like, what the fuck do you, what are you expecting it to be? It's just a guy going out there and singing some songs. That's all he's doing. There's nothing like crazy. I think it would be exciting if he had brought out some more guests. I do like that. Same. Some features.
Yes.
SZA. They had already announced like pre-Super Bowl that she was going to be there. I didn't even recognize Serena Williams.
I thought that was maybe who it was, but yeah. I didn't get confirmation until after. I mean, Drake is just having it rubbed in his face at this point.
Yes, yes. Kind of weird, though. I didn't know this until I saw somebody point it out. Serena Williams' half-sister was killed by Crips, so I don't really know why you Crip walk. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Didn't realize that? Didn't know that?
Yeah, kind of odd. It was involuntary, but you know, you'd still probably think that, yeah, I don't want to support that. But sure. Yeah, she's done it historically around, but whatever, it is what it is. I thought it was fine. Didn't knock my socks off. I don't think it was like horrible by any means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I kind of landed on it. I was entertained. I was also transfixed by it. It was very like theatrical. I mean, I remember ones mm-hmm. that like, I mean, The Weeknd, I really didn't like
it. I didn't like that.
I thought this was shit. Like, there's been other ones where I've been watching and I'm like, this isn't even fun. At least Kendrick's mm-hmm. Kept me interested. But would have liked. Where was King Kunta, man? Shout out Oshiega, whatever. The music festival in Montreal, for anyone who doesn't know, of course. All the homies. Matt, you weren't there, but producer Alex was in attendance with me when that song was zeitgeisty. Kendrick was there. It was very fun. Would have liked some of that older stuff, but alas.
Well, we'll see what we can get. Maybe we can get Kendrick to play the halftime of this podcast. We'll see.
Or do the intro, whatever you want to do, Kendrick.
Yes, that'd be good. He could probably spit some bars over that track that I probably don't have legal ownership to be using, but I have been for like 3 years. But that's fine. I did have ownership like partially at one point, so we'll count it. If anyone heard that song, they probably would be like, this is a generic song, and then like the 20 of you would be like, oh, fuck. Big Bob Ball Talk, let's go. Fire up.
20,000 at least.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I just didn't want to, like, you know, it's a mouthful to get all that out. But to start off the podcast, get into the NBA talk here, unless Super Bowl. Let's talk about Anthony Davis, already out indefinitely with a abductor injury in his first game with Dallas Mavericks.
You can't even write this.
I mean, that's the funniest thing, but we literally said it. We said, this is brittle bones boy. And, you know, it's sad in a way, because obviously, you know, like, we want to see the Mavericks actually compete and like see what they can get out of this. He was awesome in this game, 30 minutes, 26, 16 and 7, with, 3 blocks, 2 for 2 from deep, like awesome performance, looked great with the Mavericks, and they got a good convincing win over, you know, a bit of a slumping Rockets team, but still one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Big win for them. And we highlighted this, though, like the ironicness of, you know, this, the irony rather of the entire move for Luka, stating that he's not in shape enough, the injury concerns and everything, and then you trade for maybe the biggest injury concern in the NBA in Anthony Davis. Just like that, we are already seeing that happen in his fucking first game, and he's going to be out now extended past like the All-Star break and everything. So like, you're already back to where you were in square one. You would have had Luka back, you know, this month.
Today. Right, supposed to come back today.
Yeah, Monday. I was recording this. Yep. So I'm just, this just continues to make this move even more shocking. I also alluded to it a little bit there in the intro. You know, it seems like the front office there, the Mavericks, they don't know ball. Talking about Luka needed to be working like all-time greats, and he included Shaq, prime Shaq in there, who's notorious for you know, his lack of work ethic.
Also, Larry Bird, who people have rightly been pointing out would drink beer in the locker room after games. It was the 80s, for Christ's sake. Don't bring up Larry Bird if you're talking
smoking
about
cigars.
Keeping your body ready. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's really starting to turn into a bit of a dumpster fire here. I think that the panic button should be firmly pressed right now for the Dallas Mavericks, as you know, they're holding on by a whim right now to that last kind of top 8 spot right now in the Western Conference, with you know, 4 or 5 teams just nipping at their heels trying to get up them. And without Anthony Davis, this might be tough for them.
Oh yeah, I absolutely think it will be tough for them, because, you know, remember they're also still missing Derek Lively through this stretch, so you know, you're relying mainly on Daniel Gafford. Also, I mean, this might seem like a small thing to some people, but you also now don't have Quentin Grimes, who you, I don't think we mentioned this move, but traded to Philly for mm-hmm. Caleb Martin. A move that I just didn't fully understand. I understand that the Mavs just traded for Max Christie in the Luka deal, who kind of is a Grimes, you know, they're play the same position. They do the same role, and you would have had to pay Grimes in the offseason. So, you know, whatever, get rid of him, bring in Martin, who is another sort of reinforcement on the wing. That's fine. But Quentin Grimes is having a super underrated, like great energy mini sort of breakout year.
He's been good everywhere he's went.
Yeah. I've always really liked Grimes since the New York days. I can't believe that mm-hmm. Tibbs said, no, thank you. I'm going to move on from him because he just seemed like such a Tibbs type grindy type player who, yeah, I just thought he was playing great for the Mavs. And I thought it was just insane if you have, you know, deep playoff aspirations with the Mavs do to give him up. And so I sort of get the reasoning behind it, but again, like you throw that in there as well. I know it's a sort of minor move, but that's just another change that you're now going to have to deal with, you know, and you're gonna have to work Martin into the system. I don't think has been as reliable as a shooter as Grimes has been, especially this year.
No.
Like it's just,
I think just straight up one for one. Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah. So you throw all of these moves, obviously the Luka one is the main one, but all of these things, these changes that the Mavs have undergone now in the last week or so. And yeah, like you're saying, now you've got to fight and claw to stay within that mix, stay out of the play-in mix if you can, or even stop yourself from falling fully below it. Because mm-hmm. as we've said, the Warriors have re-upped. They got their win with Jimmy over the Bulls in a big comeback there. They look like they're going to try and rattle off some wins. The Suns, you know, there's still some pride there with those guys. Like, they're not going to just roll over, I don't think. And the Spurs, obviously, who have faltered a little bit, are at least, you know, they're trying to win. Like, you're not in a good position where it's like, oh, yeah, everyone below us, you know, we're definitely going to be able to sort of keep ahead because they're not even trying to win. Like, that's not the case. So yeah, if you're the Mavs, you've just got all this pressure now on Kyrie, who's got the bulging disc issue still, and he's playing and he's been fine, but you never know how long that's going to last. Kyrie misses time, this team will plummet. That, like, if he misses even one or two games, this team will just be in free fall.
Your best player, Spencer Dinwiddie, like, good luck. Najee Marshall?
Yeah. So, and that's the other thing too. You've moved off of Luka in, and now you're like, okay, we're immediately pivoting to have these guys sort of coalesce around a Kyrie-led team and Anthony Davis, you know, when you're fully healthy. The problem is you haven't worried about any secondary playmaking at all because you've had Luka and Kyrie this whole time. So all these guys need to be set up. Like, none of these guys really can go get their own shot reliably, can, you know, run a pick and roll, anything like that. So your only creator now is Kyrie. And this is my big takeaway. Like, I feel like the NBA discourse is so frustrating sometimes, like being on Twitter and shit. I'm seeing all these comments after Anthony Davis's great debut, which, you know, you laid out there the stats. It was awesome. And that first half, it was great. People being like, people acting like Anthony Davis is fucking DeAndre Ayton. Like, he's not a top 75 player of all time, yada, yada, yada. Like, no one said that. No one said Anthony Davis wasn't a great player. No, that's not something anyone said. But I'm now, like, baffled that people are not throwing in the context the other way, which is that if Anthony Davis is your best player, which he is the best player on the Mavericks at this point. You could maybe argue Kyrie, but he's the best player. What has a team led by Anthony Davis ever done? Ever? You go back to all those years in New Orleans, got nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Now he's been on
one
the
playoff win, one playoff series win, and that was over the Trail Blazers.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Drew went insane. exactly. It was just clamping CJ and Dame.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you throw that out the window. Like, there's basically no deep postseason success at all. Anytime it's been the Lakers when LeBron has been out, how has that team fared with Anthony Davis there leading them as the best? Like, been terrible. So why, I don't get how people are acting like we have all this evidence because AD has all the accolades, all the all-star appearances, you know, all the stats, everything, that he's going to just seamlessly transition into leading a team. Like, we haven't seen it. So I don't know how people are, you know, up in arms about, people like us who don't like the trade, don't get the trade, saying this isn't going to work out as well for you. It's the exact same situation with Kyrie, which we don't need to go down that path either. When has a Kyrie-led team ever shown that they can get deep in the playoffs? It's never happened. So that's my main issue. You've got two of those guys. And the Anthony Davis part specifically, the fact that he's now missing time, like it is... You truly couldn't write that he comes out, has this dominant first half, and then goes back to like a pretty much non-contact injury. He basically just kind of crumpled there. Like, I don't think anyone really hit him.
And again, a weird area to have that be non-contact, like a fucking abductor, like strain, just turning and pivoting. Like,
yeah, it's very weird. But like, again, this is what it's like to have Anthony Davis on your team. It's like a lesser version of having Kawhi on your team. Like, it's great. It's like when he's locked in and he wants to dominate, he is awesome. He looks like he can be the best big man in the league, like literally. And then he gets injured and then he's out and he misses time. And when he's not locked in like that, he floats in and out of games so much. Like, sometimes he's out there and he just does not look like nearly the dominant version of himself that you saw. So you got all these things wrapped up into one singular game, the first home game back after this huge, massive Luka Doncic trade.
It's a streamlined AD experience.
Yeah, it's insane that it all happened in that one game. Like, I can't believe they're already going through that. The Mavs fans. And so it's like, looking forward, 100%, the Mavs are at risk of plummeting out of the playoff picture here, having to scrap and claw their way in, and then maybe best case, you're going up against the Thunder, or you're going up against the Grizzlies or the Nuggets, one of these top teams. And to be clear, once again, just so everyone knows where I stand, I picked Dallas to get out of the West. I picked Dallas to win the whole thing this fucking year because I didn't think Dallas would be that afraid of the Thunder. I didn't think they'd be that afraid of any of these other teams like the Grizzlies, like even the Nuggets, certainly not teams like the Rockets or the Lakers. I feel completely different about that now that Luka is gone. For the record, like,
it's a different team.
Yeah, I don't think the Mavericks stand a chance against the Thunder now with their currently constructed roster, even if they're fully healthy. Same against the Grizzlies, same against the Nuggets. Like, I do not believe in this team, even if Anthony Davis and Kyrie are perfect 100%. I just think the Mavs are in a rough spot. It is just insanely hilarious that AD is out. And now the last thing I'll say, I don't know who makes the final call. They make it seem like it's Adam Silver for these injury replacements, but he has the chance to do the funniest thing ever and replace AD with Luka Doncic as the last Western Conference starter. I think you and I both agree on this when we talked about our snubs. It really should be Kyrie, but hey, you can make the stat argument that it should be Luka. Maybe you have to replace him with a front court player, so that's all.
Yeah, maybe Sabonis gets in there.
Yeah, so and we'd be happy with that too. If you could somehow fudge the numbers, sneak Luka in there just for the lulls, that would be great.
Yes. Adam. I mean, it's probably a bit good for the box office as well. I don't think that people would put their nose up on LA Luka out there.
Yeah.
Just crazy circumstances, but one that we could have predicted happening. I knew he was going to go down at some point. I did not think the first fucking game. But my God, Brittle Bones boy continuing to do what he does best. We will continue to monitor his situation in the Dallas area. Right now it's looking bleak. But you talked about it a little bit there, injury replacements for the NBA All-Star game. Unfortunately, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, is going to be missing the All-Star competition this year. Awesome. Like, one of the biggest, best players in the world now won't even be able to be in the All-Star game. And he's been replaced with Trae Young. I think it's a good one. We both were kind of shocked that Trae was snubbed, or as he likes to call it, trade. I don't know if he's allowed to rescind that comment now. Maybe that was what did it. Adam Silver, I don't want to Trae him. Oh, that would be horrible. they put him in. Trae Young gets in there. I think it's well-deserved, whether or not anyone likes the direction the Hawks are going in right now. They won back-to-back, but still a bit of an interesting response there in the trade deadline market. But Trae Young, glad to see him get in there. I don't really, we talked about it before, I don't really like replacing a big with another guard, especially because I believe it was the East was heavy on guards already. So I'm it's too much, too many little guys for me. I'm also assuming he's going to go into Charles Barkley's team now, which, I won't talk about that in a second once I get your take here on Trae getting the nod there as an Eastern Conference replacement. But overall, good pick, I think. It's it is just weird. Like, the positions I feel like should line up more. And I also feel like, does the conference really matter? Because, like, again, like I said, like, I don't even know why the voting has to be five All-Stars starting five from East, starting five from the West, because then they all get mixed up. I'm pretty sure one of the fucking teams that was drafted had like five or six starters on it. Like, you're supposed to be split by three. It just didn't make any sense to me. This format, it just seems like a couple of orangutans just started smashing the typewriter to come up with the idea for this year All-Star Game Tournament format. So, yes. Trae Young, you're an All-Star. Congratulations. We will wait and see who Anthony Davis is replaced by, because he won't be suiting up for action this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Trae, we both had him on our team. We think he deserved it clearly. And I'm glad. You know, I actually like, again, I don't want anyone to get injured. You never want to see that at all in the NBA. And I'm hoping for both those guys, Giannis and AD, they can come back as quickly as possible. But sometimes I appreciate the sort of injury replacement thing, because it does feel like the sort of snubs of that year get another chance to get in there. Like, I'm not one for expanding the rosters. I've heard some people say expand the All-Star rosters to 15. No. I don't want that shit. But on the occasion that a guy is injured and you need to throw someone else in there, I think it makes for a nice little sort of positive thing, at least that both of them get to be considered All-Stars that year. And I just flat out think Trae really deserved it. One of the biggest snubs, probably behind Kyrie, the second biggest snub of all this year, in my opinion. I just think you can't penalize a guy who has prioritized winning over his own stats. Otherwise, like, what are we doing in this league? You know, what are we sort of valuing overall, if that's the mindset that we're taking? That's like, oh, he's not averaging 30 and 12 anymore. Let's ding him a little bit. He could easily still be doing that. I know he's not having the best shooting season out there, but he's setting guys up at the best clip he ever has. He's playing the most winning style basketball he's ever had. So like I've said a lot of times, I think he deserves to be rewarded for that. And glad he is in the end here. But the whole machinations with the teams, because also who did you say that Giannis, he was on Team Chuck, is that right?
Yeah, he's on Team Chuck. Well, because again, this whole thing is fucking bullshit.
That's a lot of size that Chuck is now missing.
Dude, no, this is all bullshit. This whole thing is bullshit.
They got to redraft, redraft it.
They didn't really draft at all. This was completely fake. It's all Fugazi. It was all smoke and mirrors. This was rigged. This is all, like, you're telling me
all the international guys. That's all I know.
Yes. Chuck got all the international guys. Kenny drafted all like the young up and coming guys that are American. Yeah. And then Shaq got all like the proven all-star old head guys. Like, there's no way. Like,
was this televised? Was this draft televised?
I don't know if it was. I don't think it was televised. I want to say they did it like on the NBA app.
Oh, yeah. You said
stupid.
That. Yes.
Because again, everybody's got the fucking NBA app, and that's what people are going to fucking watch. Goddamn Adam Silver, you stupid bastard. But like, you can't tell me that. So you're saying that Kenny the Jet was like, you know what? I'm going to take two guards to start my draft off, and I'm going to go Edwards and Brunson before taking SGA. Really? I don't think that fucking makes any sense. I believe, where is it? You're telling me Chuck took Pascal Siakam two picks before Karl Anthony Towns? Karl Anthony Towns was one of the last. Donovan Mitchell was one of the last fucking picks of this entire draft. He might have actually been the last pick of the entire draft. Like, this, it was all constructed. Like, I would have been fine if they didn't have to do a whole fucking fake draft. You could have just said the established all-stars, the young up-and-coming.
Or just pick them randomly.
The first and second.
Just pick the team randomly.
But it's so clear there was a theme. There's no way that this was just by chance. This is 100% organized by either the NBA or Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck just thought that it would be fun to do.
Well, because now the NBA can like pit the teams against each other with more than just like randomness.
Yeah.
I can be like, this is the, like you're saying, the up-and-comers, the internationals.
But they could have just done that.
They didn't need to make it
feel like this whole draft. Like, they could have just done that. And I probably would have been like, okay, I kind of get it. Like, I still wouldn't have been huge on it, because I think it should just do the fucking game East versus West. Like, it's never gonna, like, you're not fixing it anytime soon with these little mini tournaments. Do a target score every quarter. I don't care.
But
I don't know. The draft was whatever. Like, again, I didn't watch it live because I don't have a fucking NBA app.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did.
Loser. I really don't get it. And then, of course, we've got you know, we'll see which of the Rising Stars teams gets in there. Hopefully Jeremy Lin's G League squad gets in there with
Dink. I want Dink Pate, man.
Dink is going to dunk on LeBron. That's what's going to happen. But I would say there's a negative chance. They're not going to let him get in there. They don't want to see. They don't want to let Dink shine.
It's going to happen, and then the TV's going to cut out right at the moment, and they're going to AI the rest of the game. Like, yeah, Adam's got that all set up. But you will not hold down Dink from me. Yeah, exactly. I know how good Dink is. So anyway, well, I I'm excited just to see the spectacle of it all and how, like, I'm excited to hate watch this whole fucking weekend and watch it crash and burn, because that's the point where I'm at. But ultimately glad Trae Young is going to be involved in it somehow. That's only right, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about on Friday's podcast, maybe do some previews and predictions for each of the All-Star skills competitions, and maybe even the game itself. We'll make our predictions there. But on Saturday night, I probably won't even fucking bother watching it. Maybe I'll watch a three-point contest, but U.S. versus Canada, best on best, four nations, hockey, that's what I'll be watching.
Yep, that's more exciting, 100%.
Way more exciting, which again, is crazy. I would way rather watch basketball, but this is what you've driven me to, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
But moving on to a team that I don't think we give enough love to here. We've mentioned them kind of offhandedly a few times here. And maybe the forgotten horse in the race here out in the Western Conference. It's the Portland Trailblazers, Jordan. They're still 7 games below 500. They're three and a half games out of the play-in tournament as it stands. But they've been hot as a pistol lately, man. 8 out of their last 10 games have been wins. They only recently had their 9-game winning streak. Maybe it was 8-game winning streak. They just lost their last game. But before that, like, they have been fire. Anfernee Simons has been really solid for them. Shaden Sharpe, London Zone, has really taken that leap in his second season here. And then, of course, we've talked about the slew of veteran guys that we thought maybe they were going to want to deal, but they've somehow kind of made this team work, and they're kind of frisky right now. And I'm going to say this. If they aren't going to move these guys, you may as well make the push. And I think that there's enough of a jumble up there. You know, the vibes with the Suns are low. I'm not sure how the Warriors are going to work here. The Mavericks now with the AD injury. We don't know how good the Kings are going to be. Like, I do legitimately think there is a chance, if the Trailblazers can kind of keep up the clip they're at right now, that they could get into the conversation of the 10. Maybe they fall short at 11, but like, there is actually a chance that the Trailblazers, I think, could make a run to the play-in. And that's exciting, because this team still has to choose a direction, but I like that they're being competitive. I like they're trying to do something, because they're not quite the Utah, Charlotte, Washington type of tanking level. So they've got enough pros on their team. I didn't even mention Jeremy Grant, Denny Avija, DeAndre Ayton. Like, Time Lord has been really solid when he's actually been able to be on the court. Yep. Lots of guys here who are putting really good tape out there for this offseason, potentially for some big moves.
Yes, 100%. I mean, you say this offseason, that's the next possible time that something has to happen. I mean, I was reminded today, just in prepping for this, that the Trailblazers stood pat. They did nothing at the trade deadline. Yep. They traded none of these guys, which again is a little bit crazy.
Even a rumor.
No, didn't hear a goddamn thing. Like, I don't know how 30-year-old Jeremy Grant is just happy just up there. I know the Pacific Northwest is nice. I've yet to visit, but it's just wild that he's not in some of these rumors. You ran off all the guys. Like, this is a sneaky deep team, which I think Chauncey Billups is finally figuring out a way to sort of use them all together at once. And when you're looking at all their contributors, like, they've got a number of guys averaging double figures here. Let me do some quick math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all above 10 points per game. You've now like fallen into this thing where, since you have kept on to or kept holding on to some of these more veteran guys like a Jeremy Grant, you've got a nice mix of players, experience levels, skill sets. Like, you're looking at this team and it's like, oh yeah, this is kind of exciting, sort of out of the blue here, because you do have Grant, you have Anfernee Simons, you mentioned Ayton there as well, Shaden Sharpe, Denny Avdia, which you said, like, he is so underratedly solid for this squad. Like, he comes off the bench for the most of the time. He is my new Chetty now. I really am just going to sing his praises. a while back, and again, for I think this is true for most people, aside from our one true diehard Trailblazers fan who listens to this podcast, I have not watched that many Blazers games this year, but one close game I watched of theirs, I want to say like a month or so back, the guys who had the ball in their hands were Scoot, because you're trying to sort of develop him as much as you can. The next best,
he's had a couple okay games.
He has. He's come on. Hasn't
still
looked
pretty disappointing.
Bad. Yeah, 100%. But the other guy they went to was Denny at the end of these games. Like, he can handle it. Mm-hmm. He can pass it. He can get himself to the rim a little bit. Like, he's got decent size. So shout out Denny. And then another guy I want to shout out, Tumani Kamara, who no one really thinks of. He has started every game this year for them. And he's just been such a fucking Swiss Army knife, doing everything that they need. Like, whatever they've needed from him, he's just went
one of the best rebounding wings in the NBA this season.
100%. And he can shoot it a little bit. Like, he's still not great, in that area, but over 35% on four attempts. Like, you'll take that from a guy who's still kind of putting that together. He was basically like, he was on the Suns. And I forget how I think he was, must've been part of that, deal that sent Ayton, up there. Like, that's a throw-in piece that I don't think anyone was really looking at the time, now being this great contributor. I mean, the Suns would kill to have him on their roster now. So it's just, yeah, it's crazy, this kind of graveyard of a team where players have went just kind of randomly, seemingly these last few years, has had enough time now to kind of come together and make something into what could be a bit of a winning product. Like, it's it's very interesting how this has played out. You still have questions, though. Like, I still am wondering why they're hogging centers. Like, they've got three good rotation centers. You don't need that many. You probably don't even need more than one. Like, especially when
I'm
Donovan
shocked
Clingan
with some of these teams. Like, the Lakers, you're telling me that Rob Williams or Ayton. Like, I mean, I did do a mock Ayton trade previous to the Luka trade. And I mean, Clingan, I think, would have been tough to get, but at the same time,
they're holding on to him.
I don't think they probably look at him as like the franchise guy.
Maybe not.
I think he's probably expendable, but still, I think they'd rather hold on to him other than Time Lord.
But exactly.
There's a lot of guys on this team that are really serviceable. And that's why, again, I do think that they have enough depth that they can maybe make a push, be competitive night in, night out, and, make a run for that 10 seed, whether that's good for them in the long run. That's up for debate, but I think they've got the chance to do it.
Yeah, 100%. With the amount that, like, teams at the bottom, like we just talked about around that Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, like one of them is bound to have some issue that causes them to fall. So as long as the Blazers can sort of stay in the mix, keep picking up wins, like, they've got young legs. If it comes to it at the end of the season and they're coming down to, like, you know, the last 15 game stretch, I like their chances to sort of turn the Jets on and go all out to try and win versus some of these teams with a lot of older guys who are going to want to be saving themselves for the playoffs anyway. Like, you're playing with house money really this year. If you're the Blazers, you might as well get in and see if you can do, just have one fun game if nothing else. So it's interesting. I didn't expect this from this team. Thought they'd be way worse, but again, like you, if you put together guys with talent who can fit together and do a bunch of different things, then you're off to the races. And like you said, like setting up some of these guys to get paid or get interest from other teams in the off season, like, you could construct a decent team. Like, if you say, okay, we still do believe in Scoot as sort of the point guard of the future, and Klingon, those are two 20-year-olds who you've recently drafted, who are kind of the cornerstones, whatever. Like, you could get, and Shaden Sharp as well, just a year older than those two, but like, you could get a pretty penny for someone like Anfernee Simons, like you could, and Jeremy Grant, like all these guys we talked about, you could pretty quickly now with how well some of these guys have played, turn them into sort of more veteran or proven guys that can come in and sort of fill out the team nicely around your young guys. Like, I think the biggest takeaway should be for the Blazers is you're closer to competing than I think anyone thought. But again, this is just you've kind of caught magic in a bottle here. This is not like a long-term strategy here with these specific guys to go forward for the next few years. But if you could turn some of them into better fitting pieces, then you could be back on your feet sort of sooner than anyone thought, which is fun, which is good.
Well, and again, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they'd be the 10 seed. That's how different things are. Yep. Every year, I think, you know, there was a little bit there. The East looked like it was getting a little more competitive, but now we're kind of getting back to the days of, you know, the super team. We were watching, the Miami Heat and the Knicks and the Pacers were really the only teams that could be taken seriously. And then the West was just a fucking dogfight. And that was back when there was only 8 seeds in the playoffs, you know, no play-in back then. So very, very interested to see, Silver, if you want to do something that people actually like, no conference playoffs. There's
that
an idea.
Would be fun.
It's been floated around for a long time. Yep. I think that would be really exciting to see. But shout out to the Trailblazers and, their recent, hot streak. Hopefully they can continue it, and make this Western Conference playoff race even more crazy, with, you know, one more team throwing their hat in the race. Yep. Moving on, we forgot to do it last week, Jordan. I can't believe it. Maybe it was because we traded the big dog ball talk monkey, and he's usually the one that reminds us.
Yeah, you're right.
But we did get him back. He failed his physical, a la Mark Williams.
Of course.
And we are here with the big dog ball talk monkey, giving us the big dog of the month.
There he is.
This year.
Good to have you back.
We've had some really great big dog of the month winners so far. October, we had Nikola Jokic. November, Jakob Poeltl. December, Karl-Anthony Towns, month of January. This one, we're going with one of Karl-Anthony Towns' teammates. The Knicks have long dominated this award in the recent years.
Julius Randle.
I mean, they have a former Big Dog of the Year, not just month. And I believe the guy who's winning it right now, he's got to be the smallest player to ever win it. I don't know if we've ever given it to someone smaller. I want to say there was someone like maybe a guard we gave it to last year. But I believe he's won it once. I think he won it once last year.
Yeah.
But definitely deserves it. Plays heavy, heavy minutes on the Knicks. One of the league leaders in minutes per game right now. But in January, you know, he did everything that it means to be a big dog. Did all the little things. You know, got his boards up. Was doing everything he could to get his team the win. It was Josh Hart of the New York Knicks, big dog of the month of January. He had 9 double doubles. He had the highest loose ball recovery rate in the NBA of any players that played more than 3 games in the month.
What a stat, man!
And 12 rebounds per game for a guy who, you know, is maybe 6'6". Really, really impressive stuff. I know I mentioned Kamara, however you pronounce it, as, you know, one of the best rebounding wings in the game. I think it's undisputed that Josh Hart is the best rebounding wing in the NBA currently. Big ups to him and his season that he's had. You know, one of the biggest members of this this Knicks team. Very underrated, all the stuff he does. And I believe he also has 6 assists per game in January.
Yes.
So, you know, he's really doing everything he can to get the win.
Yeah, I would say one of the best glue guys, role players in the NBA, just in general, however you want to.
You can put him on any team. They'll win.
Oh, absolutely. And again, he's it's clearly because of all the dirty work, the intangible stuff, the big dog qualities, because it's not like he's a great shooter. I believe he was 25% from 3 in the month of January. So, you know, he's very hit and miss from out there. He will hit the big ones, though. He's like any good, hard-nosed role player. You can count on him to come through in the big moments for you most of the time. But he's always been willing to throw his body on the line, put his body on the line, get in there. I mean, the fact that he rebounds to the clip that he does at that size just tells you how crazy his motor is and how he's just willing to rough it up, get in there, go up against big men, guard big men all the time as well. Like, he's one of their most versatile guys on that end. He really does. I mean, we try to every month give it to guys who embody what it is like to, or what it is to be a big dog. Some guys like the Jokic pick, he wasn't always on people's shortlist for things like that. But he really, in that month of October, showed that he can get there. Josh Hart has always been on the shortlist for these types of awards. Going back to fucking Villanova, this is just the type of guy he is. This is literally how he made it into the league. He's not even close to being one of the more skilled guys in the NBA. But we love it when those type of guys succeed. And the Knicks would be nowhere near where they're at right now without him, going back basically his whole tenure since he's been there. So shout out Josh Hart. I think he's going to be on the short list for Big Dog of the Year, which is going to be tough to win if you're not a true big man. But if anyone's going to do it, it might be him.
Well, shout out to Josh Hart. I'm sure this is maybe the crowning moment of his career in basketball so far. We will we'll keep him in mind for Big Dog of the Year. And we want to hear from you guys at Big Dog Ball Talk. Let us know who you thought should have been the Big Dog of the Month in January. And give us your nominees and early predictions for Big Dog of the Month of February. It's a short month, ladies and gentlemen, so it could be anybody's to win. And not that many games with Anthony the All-Star break coming up as well. Well, it could probably be anyone but Anthony Davis. one good game will get you there. No. But to finish it off, we got some NBA trivia. I'm going to be quizzing Jordan, see if he knows his ball. See if he's a ball knower. And this is all about... This is all about the All-Star weekend, all about the All-Star game.
I haven't watched
all about the All-Star game. Yeah, all about the All-Star game. Jordan, these are all somewhat simple-ended questions, I would say. And I'm curious to see how well you know the All-Star game and its history. To start it off here, this is a big one. The crown jewel of the All-Star game, the MVP.
Yep.
Who has won the most All-Star game MVPs? Ever.
I think I'm going to get it like I might say the name of someone and then just get it not go with them and get it wrong and kick myself, something like that.
I'll tell you this. I'll give you this context at least.
Okay.
There are two players in NBA history. They share this title, the most All-Star Game MVPs, and they both won it four times.
Okay. I think I'm remembering this. I'm trying to not get a clue from your face. I think one of them is Kobe, and the other one is one of these old fuckers. It's like Pettit or Cousy. I'm going to go with Cousy and Kobe.
Wow, you almost went two for two. It is Kobe. The other is Bob Pettit.
Fuck! Did I not say Pettit? Did I say Pettit
or
Cousy?
You said Pettit or Cousy. We went with Cousy.
I hate me. Yeah, see, it's exactly what I thought. Yeah, I knew it was one of those old fucking white guys, and I seem to remember it being Kobe because I... Did he not win it in 2016? Am I imagining that?
No, he couldn't have been.
No, I
actually want to say it was like
not.
No, that wasn't the Anthony
was
Davis.
Was Steph or like Paul George? Someone random.
I
forget.
It wasn't him, but he was obviously a big part of that game. Him, LeBron, that little face off that Drake in hindsight is kind of ruined.
Yes,
but and fun fact with Bob Pettit, he also has the most rebounds ever in a All-Star game, 27.
Wow, good for you, Bob. Getting up there. He couldn't really jump, could he?
Go to the 50s, which, I mean, anybody could have been at that point.
True.
Playing with that fucking leather ball and Converses. I mean, you kind of got a 50s game. I can see it.
It's true. I would have dominated.
Shit. But we're talking about all-time, performances in the All-Star game. Can you tell me who scored the most points in the All-Star game?
Fuck you, man.
Single game.
I want to say, I'm tempted.
Here's
to
your
say
hint.
Someone
your
new.
One hint. What is it, it is, it was recently broken.
Okay.
Which, I mean, also goes without saying, it makes sense when they've been scoring like 250 points.
Yes, right. Exactly. Of course. Yeah. So, cause in my mind, I'm like, did fucking Wilt score 80 points or something? But no, it's makes sense that it's more recent. I want to say it's one of the guys who would shoot a lot of threes. So in my head, it's again, see, this is a, I feel like I'm going to kick myself, go with the wrong guy. In my head, it's either Dame or Steph. And I'm going to say, or was it Paul George? I seem to remember Paul George having an insane game and people were like doubling him at the end. Oh, God damn it. I don't know why. I think I'm going to go with Dame.
So Dame was actually last year's All-Star Game MVP. I don't know what his final scoring numbers were, but the year before, and I have absolutely no fucking memory of this.
Oh, no.
Jason Tatum scored 55 points in the NBA All-Star Game.
Yep, I have no memory of that. Got that completely wrong.
like unless I've been like fucking hoodwinked, like I actually am going to double check it right now because even just saying it sounds wrong.
Well,
like I swear to God, it had 55 points, 2023.
Okay, well, that sort of rings a bell, but I'm not Tatum 55. What? When? Where was that game? If that was 2 years ago.
Who knows, man? Fucking Milwaukee.
Cleveland?
I don't know.
No.
It was in Salt Lake City, and 55 points.
That's crazy. Wow. Well, I would not have guessed it was Jason Tatum, but again, it feels like it's been wiped from my memory as well. That's crazy.
Yes. I think that we all probably just did the Men in Black thing to ourselves.
Every year.
Wiped it from our bricks. That just is wrong.
That doesn't feel right.
I do think Paul George was close one year. I want to say Dame and Steph have been up there, like around like 40-ish points. And the one year I was mentioned, like Anthony Davis did come close, and they were like double teaming him as well.
AD,
same thing.
These are all coming.
So like, there's been quite a few guys who have been close, and then I guess Tatum finally just exploited it. And again, you're talking about guys who shoot a lot of threes. There's a volume 3-point shooter right there.
Yep.
Following along the same lines here, though, can you tell me who has the record for most assists in an NBA All-Star game? In one single All-Star game.
I don't know why I feel like I've heard this stat recently, but why would I have? I'm not sure. It's ringing a bell. Oh, man. Who would be out there dropping dimes in an All-Star game? Could it be the point guard, Chris Paul? I don't think so, because I don't think he like cares enough. I want to say it would be someone like back in the 90s for some reason, when the game sort of meant more.
Mm-hmm.
Stockton would be like an easy guess, but I feel like that's too obvious.
Yeah, hey, him and Malone shared the award once.
Yeah. And then I want to say, like, could it have been Magic? But I don't know why. I'm just going to guess Magic. This is a bit of a cop-out, but I'm going to guess Magic.
It's a good choice, man. Magic Johnson, 1984, 22 assists.
84.
Good performance.
Wow.
Your initial guess too of Chris Paul was good. If my memory serves me right, the all time leader of the All Star game in assists per game with like 11 assists.
There we go, Chris.
In his game. So one of the best. Actually, we're talking about points scored. Do you know who averages the highest points per game total in the All Star game?
Oh God, it's gonna be someone who made it in like once or twice. Fuck.
He still plays right now.
Tell me who is
Jaylen Brown, 31 points.
Oh. That's crazy. That is hilarious. Wow. Shout out JB.
Moving on. The triple-double is all the norm now. Can you tell me the four players in NBA history that have gotten a triple-double in the NBA All-Star game?
Oh, Christ. Can you tell me if I'm right as we go? LeBron? Did he get one?
LeBron got it once, 2011.
Okay. 2011. Oh, yeah. I seem to remember
He was
that
the
one.
Second to ever do it.
So there's been two since then.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Okay. So the person before him who would have done it. Oh, fuck. Oh, I feel like I might be wrong with this, but I feel like this is just a Michael Jordan stat. Was it MJ?
Michael Jordan, 1997.
Okay. Two since then. Fuck, who would it have been? Jokic, I mean, he's the triple-double machine, but I do not think he cares enough in these games. Mm-hmm. Got to be Russ.
No, surprisingly, no.
Fuck. Okay.
I think he might have had a crazy, like almost 50-point game once. He won the All Star MVP.
It was either
the year before or year after his MVP season.
Right. Right.
Something like around then. He definitely won it.
Yeah, I remember that. I'll guess. Fuck.
I'll give one last guess to see if you can get one of the last two guys.
Man, who would have fucking done it? There's just not that many guys. Was it Dwayne Wade?
Yep, Dwayne Wade, 2012, right after those Heatles were doing the damn thing.
Who's the last
The only guy?
Guy
you missed out on, Kevin Durant in 2017.
What the fuck, is that his only like triple-double ever, regular season as well?
I was pretty surprised to see him and MJ on there. Funny, LeBron and D-Wade, back-to-back years, they did it.
Yeah.
But you're doing pretty hot, doing well. Last one, I'm going to quiz you on here, Jordan. Can you tell me who won the first NBA All-Star Game MVP ever back in 1951.
I just need to think of like the popular white guy names back then. Give me like a, is it a weird name or is it a normal name? Because that'll
It sounds like a guy who played basketball in the 50s.
Okay.
Weird but not weird.
Dusty Schuster.
That's pretty close, actually. So this guy is a Hall of Famer, 7-time All-Star, and a former NBA champion with the St. Louis Hawks. He was actually a St. Louis legend. He went to high school and college there.
Fuck, do you know so much about this guy? Give me his name.
I'm looking at his basketball reference page right now. And he was he was the fifth overall pick to the St. Louis Bombers back in the 1949 BAA draft.
Great year.
And then he ended up playing for the Celtics, if you know about them. It was Big Ed McCauley.
Ed McCauley. How could I forget?
Another, what is that, another Macaulay? Four-time All-NBA?
Another Owen Sound-ass-sounding name.
hey, Ed Macaulay. Show some respect. He died.
High school with
He's
him.
Dead.
Oh, is he dead? Oh, fuck.
He died in 2011, man. Show some respect. You didn't even get to see November. He didn't even get to see LeBron. He would have seen LeBron get the triple-double. That's good.
Okay.
But he didn't see D-Wade or Kevin Durant do it. So
that's
he,
a shame.
He was like, okay, LeBron, he's the GOAT. He's past MJ.
He was the first All-Star Game MVP? Was that the question?
First ever NBA All-Star MVP was Ed McCulley.
Who
was called
Killer.
Big Ed or Easy Ed. And Big Ed was only 6'8". Which, back in 1951, he was probably a fucking tower. He's pretty much Yao Ming.
What's his field goal percentage?
Let me bust this out, man. Actually, he is pretty good. He has nasty stats, man. His first career, 641 games played. He averaged 17.5 points, 7.5 boards, and 3 assists. Those are pretty solid numbers.
I mean, sure. Those are all right. Yeah.
Those are good.
Whole career,
I mean,
how many years did he play?
Whole career. He retired in 59. His first year was 50. So he played 10 years.
10 years. 10 solid years. Ed McCulley. Wow. What a legend.
And his field goal percentage was 43%. His last, he was
all right.
His last, he got dragged down. His last season, I mean, for a center, that's fucking dog shit.
Yes, yeah, come on. Ed.
His last season, he played. He shot 29% from the field in 14 games played.
That's actually pathetic. Ed,
yeah,
you
and
suck.
An entire 2.9 rebounds as well in that season. So he really had the drop off there.
Mailing it in,
his,
Ed.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
But you know what, man? You got to show some respect to the multi-time All-Star, the OG MVP of the All-Star game. But Jordan, you did pretty well in this one, man. I got to give you credit.
I
didn't think you were going to get Ed McCulley, but you got three of four on the triple doubles, and you got the most assists. And you almost got both on the MVPs.
Yeah,
kind of broke that into one, though. But yeah, I mean, the craziest one, again, is the fucking Tatum point one just happened, and neither of us had any memory of it. So,
yes, yes.
Shout out to Jason Tatum, I guess.
Yeah, it tells you the state of the game. We just wipe our memories every year.
Yep.
We already know. We just recently talked about dunk contests. I don't remember anyone who won. It was news to me that Mac McClung's going for the three-peat, so that's how I feel.
Well, let us know how you guys fared on trivia. I hope you guys were playing along at home. Let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook for all the old heads out there. And even submit your own trivia questions. See if you can stump us. I don't know. We can make something work there.
Yep.
We want to see if you guys have better ball knowledge than us, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
No.
We'll be back on Friday previewing the NBA All-Star Weekend. Yay!
It'll be great.
This has been Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt, Jordan Flegel, as my good friend Jordan always says.
Super Bowl committee. Get us out there. I mean, we just, again,
yes.
Kendrick, you did all right, but a live Big Dog Ball Talk show in the middle of the stadium would be amazing. Imagine your voice echoing around fucking thousands of people. It's like, this is Big Dog Ball Talk.
The place would be, they'd be going fucking nuts.
They'd be going
the women
crazy.
Would be ripping their tops off.
They
wouldn't be able to contain. There would be a riot onto the field.
We just announce Big Dog. All we do is we announce Big Dog of the Month. We get a real monkey to sort of trot around the stadium.
Yes.
And we just do a massive countdown the entire time it takes for a standard halftime show. We say, Josh Hart, the place goes wild.
Yes. Maybe we do the NFL Big Dog of the Year, one time special or something.
Yes.
They won't do Walter Payton Man of the Year. Fuck that. We don't care about who's supplying water to Kenya. Let's talk about who's making pancakes.